I'd just like to share a little bit tonight about how we need the Holy Spirit and how important it is that we know the Holy Spirit and how important it is that we ask that, Lord, you give us a greater capacity to know the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says walk in the Spirit, which kind of tells me there... It does say that means you, there's times we cannot walk in the Spirit. And it's like, Lord, thank you that it's our privilege to learn what it is to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. There is no more exciting life on the face of this earth than a people that are filled with the love and the power of the Holy Spirit and are led into the life God has planned for them and led into others' lives with power and compassion and healing. There is no other life like it. And once we begin to experience it, you don't want to go back. Now, the enemy fears that more than anything on this earth, is a body, the church, filled with the power and love of the Holy Spirit, fears it more than anything. When Jesus left this earth, he left two things. He left the church and he left the Holy Spirit. You see, because the New Testament had not been written yet. And so the enemy, fearing what the body, the bride of Christ, would be filled with the glory and love of God, what did he do? Everything in his power from day one was to divide the church, divide his body, divide his bride, and to bring confusion and fear about the topic of the Holy Spirit. Because that is where the big guns lie, so to speak, against his kingdom of darkness. And so everything he can do to confuse us and to cause us to be fearful and to divide us is around the parts about the Holy Spirit and the church being filled with the Spirit. And I was just thinking as we were in that quiet time, when Jesus left this earth physically and ascended up into heaven, can you imagine what his disciples felt seeing that precious body lift up into the air and he was leaving them? I can't imagine. And living in a hostile world where they still cried for blood, where the religious establishment loathed them and would crucify them if they could. And nobody understands these things, and it seems like, you know, there's just this little handful of people that seemingly have the truth, but it looks like such a big, huge world. It's like, how could they possibly ever testify or witness? And as he left, they must have felt so paralyzed with, like, don't leave us, and why are you leaving us? Why do you have to leave us? Now that we're finally getting it, you are God and you've been raised from the dead and you're leaving us. And then Jesus said, you know the story. He says, wait. Gather in Jerusalem, go to a specific place and wait. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And we can just imagine them huddled in that upper room, filled with fear and like what, you know, just huddled together. And yet on that great day, God, true to his promise, just like he'd be true to his promise to us today and tonight, sent the Holy Spirit in full measure to the church. And when they were filled with the glory and the power and the love of God, what a release of fear, what a release of confusion, what a release of, I can't do this. And all of a sudden, filled with the power of God, all things were possible. And they longed and yearned to speak his name in front of howling crowds and mobs. What a difference. And so the enemy, of course, wanted to suppress that and keep the church from that experience again. And, you know, the best way that I felt like I could do a teaching on the Holy Spirit was kind of to weave it into different parts of my testimony. Not that I am any great authority in the sense of, you know, my experience is the end-all and be-all. Of course it isn't. But, you know, together here, if we all had a chance to share tonight, we would have a considerable testimony. to the power of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. So if you would just let me share with you just little bits that kind of help what I feel the Lord wants to say to us tonight concerning the Holy Spirit. My first women's conference that I ever attended, I was a very young Christian, and it was a completely miserable affair for me. I don't know if any of you are having a miserable time. I hope not. But I was just a new Christian, and I was, when I got to that conference, I was very needy. I was broken. I was in pain. And when I got there, almost no one talked to me. And I probably looked like a lot of trouble, and they were probably struggling to keep their head above water anyway, and they thought if anybody grabs onto me, we're both going under. So I did what I do best in those days. I became invisible. And I just kind of became invisible. The thing was, I became invisible to them largely, but I left that conference feeling somewhat invisible to God. And in my mind, they all had it together, and they all had this wonderful, you know, life in God that I was outside of, and I actually felt more in pain leaving than when I came. And I remember I was driving home, and just the misery in my soul just overwhelmed me. And I had to pull over to the side of the road, and I began to cry and weep. And if you had asked me at that moment why, I didn't know, except that the pain and the misery and the brokenness just was so there. And I pulled over to the side of the road, and I was just crying, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And you know, in an instant, I saw in my mind's eye a picture of a newborn baby, and I knew in a moment that was me. And all of a sudden, I felt the tender yearning of God for me as a newborn baby. And I felt like he was saying, you know, Teresa, I willed you into this life. I want you here. I have a purpose for you. And you are a newborn babe in me. But you exist by the will of God, by my will. And I'm going to love you. I've loved you from ever before you were born, and I love you now. And there is a scripture that says, and because the love of God is a shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts because of the Holy Ghost. And that, when I think of it, was my very first experience with the Holy Spirit. That it's funny, but it takes the Holy Spirit to make it real to us that we are loved. And there's a scripture that says, and we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God has to us. We have known it and we've believed it. And I know I couldn't know it or I couldn't believe it except by the Holy Spirit in me that made it real, that made me able to know his love and to believe he loved me. And I really believe in some ways that was my first notable experience in the Holy Spirit. Just even having a picture of that newborn babe and knowing somehow that's what you look like as a baby. No, I'm not recommending that you have that. I'm just telling you what happened to me and how the healing started in my life by the Holy Spirit shedding abroad the love of God for me, where I could for the first time actually know it and believe it. So it's when you ladies are in the lowest point, even if you've come to this place and you still feel a little shut out and a little shut down, the Holy Spirit lives in you to make the love of God, that you may know it and believe it, that it may heal us. And I didn't feel invisible to God anymore. I didn't believe they had it all together and there was no hope for me. I left believing they had it all together. I may know a little bit more now. But I knew I didn't feel invisible to God anymore, and he planned my life, and he willed that I be born. You have to know you are here by the will of God, not by the will of man. No matter what circumstances you were born, you are here by the will of God and the love of God, and not by the will of man. It is God that gave us life. And as we know, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. And I was saved in a church that was not open to the things of the Holy Spirit. I was saved in a church that almost really feared the things of the Spirit. And they taught us, and as a brand new baby in Christ, I was taught that certain things had passed away and that certain experiences were not ours. And they were my, so to speak, my father in Christ, because it was through the witness of this lovely group of people that I got saved. And so they were my teachers, and so I believed what they were saying. And I felt like sometimes that there was more, but you know, you're a babe, so I was in this environment where all that we need of God we received at salvation. And this went on for a season, but where I lived on a farm, we actually were sheep farmers, and I was extremely lonely out there. And one day it came into my head, I know what I should do. Why don't I have a Bible study? I could invite the neighborhood women who, you know, we all lived miles from each other, but I could invite them into my kitchen, my farmhouse kitchen, and we could have a Bible study, and they'll get saved, and I will have friends. Well, this seemed like an amazing plan. So, you know, I went out and bought a new teapot. That's very important. You're having people in. A new teapot and a, you know, sugar bowl and the thing, and I was ready with my new teapot and a Bible study guide, and two people said they would come, and so we opened up this little book, and when it came to the part that we were reading, you know, I didn't feel qualified to be a teacher or anything, we were just reading out of this book and discussing things, and when we came to the part that ye must be born again, I'm not kidding, it's like they both jumped up as one man and ran out, literally ran out of my kitchen. And I remember like, what? You know, here was my great plan of how to have friends. Just ran out the door. And it was so terrible because like I thought, did I offend them? Did I do something wrong? You know, like this was not going according to plan. And you know, I had really, really thought that for sure, how could this not be God, and how could they not get saved, you know, and that they ran out the door, and there went my friends, and there was loneliness, deep loneliness, waiting for me again. So I went up the stairs, and I was so disheartened, I can't tell you how lonely and disheartened I felt. And instead of my usual reading, you know, I followed one of those daily, you know, reading devotional. And in my desperation, I just opened up the Bible. And it fell to Acts, where Peter, on the day of Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit, got up and spoke, and 3,000 got saved. What a contrast to my own experience. You know, two, and they run out on me. And he can speak and 3,000 get saved. It was like, oh my. And my eye fell on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in my loneliness and pain, I was really ready to consider the inconsiderable, so to speak. I've been brought to a point of desperation. And I knew the Word of God was true. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And it was like, all right, I'll know what I'll do. I'll ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. And which was very, 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 very bold on my part, because my understanding was maybe we'd be filled with devils if we kind of went over into the gray line there. But I was desperate. I was desperate. And so I remember I went into one of the bedrooms and I shut the door. And I don't know why I shut the door, because I was alone in the house, but I did. And I realized that if I asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I might speak in tongues, and that was scary, but I was willing to do it. So I asked God to fill me, and I opened my mouth. I'm telling you the truth. Nothing happened. I did it again. Nothing happened. I did it again. I opened the door, walked out, and I said, that kind of figures. You know, I know lots of reasons why, you know, God probably wouldn't want to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And of course, you know, my list, I hear the accuser roar, the things that I have done, I know them well, and 1,000 more. Yep. I left the bedroom that way, and it made sense to me why God, you know, I couldn't be filled with the Spirit. And that I couldn't tell anybody I had done that. And I just kept it in my heart. I wanted that Peter could speak to people and they got saved, and I wanted that, but I was had such a fear of man and couldn't speak to people very well anyway, and I wanted the things of God. I did. And that seemed to be at that moment the way God was pointing to me, but I kept it all inside. Well, one night I was in the city staying at my parents' place with my little children, and my husband was a policeman, and he was going out to witness to prisoners in the prison. But unbeknownst to me, he was so afraid of that assignment because in his mind, Mr. Logical that he is, if there's a prison riot, the first people they'll turn on are the policemen, and he's dead meat. So it was like very fearful for him at that point to go into the prisons to witness, because he had this in his mind, if they get free, we're going to be the first they will attack. Which we laugh about that now, but that was really what was foremost in his mind. So on his way with a group of policemen to witness, one of them said, do you mind if we stop in at this halfway house? It's drug addicts, and it's one of the guys there, spiritual birthday. I led him to the Lord a year ago, and they're having a little cake for him. Could we go? And he thought, well, all right. So he goes, and when he goes in, he's amazed because here are all these former addicts just alive, and they were praising God. And when he walked in, he knew there was something very different about this place. But then, you know, something in the back of your head goes, you know, but these folks need this. I don't. But, you know, he was very intrigued by what was going on. And they would sing with all their heart, and they'd get up and testify. They would talk about the power of God coming on them and releasing them from their addictions. And the glory of God was all over them. And they just looked like completely other people than they said they were. And at the end of the meeting, he got so very hungry. And a group of them came up, you know, and they, bikers, which is interesting because he didn't like bikers. That was his personal prejudice because of run-ins he'd had with them. And these biker guys come up to him and go, brother, they said, can we pray for you? And he said, no, not at all. And they said, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, I'm sure. And they said, are you sure? And he was about, because in his mind he's going, you guys need this, I don't. But there was like this voice, you hypocrite. You know who you are. So he goes, oh, all right, you can pray for me, but like, and he goes, nobody stand behind me because cops don't like people behind them. And they said, okay. They laid his hands on him. The power of God came on him, bang, straight out on the floor. Just complete, speaking in tongues, the power of God all over him. Of course, no one caught him, but that's all right. The Lord caught him. The gentle fall. Filled with the power of God. He came home that night. They never did make it to the prisons. Praising God. He comes home that night and he's like lit up like a lighthouse. And he walks in and he goes, guess what? Listen to this. And he just starts speaking in tongues. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And it was like inside me, it was like, he got it, he got it. And it was like there was witness. Now I'm going to get it. I know it, I know it. It'll be my turn soon. And he went home and he couldn't stop praying and speaking in tongues. And the next night, we just had this little time of prayer. And I listened to him and all of a sudden, I could hear him speaking in tongues and his voice was getting higher and higher. And he was speaking faster and faster and faster. And all of a sudden, I got really fearful and I thought, oh no, is this the line they're talking about that we've crossed? And it was, I got very, very, very fearful. And it's like, what's going to happen now? And I realized that all of a sudden he was just like caught up in the presence of God. And then oh, it's like the power of God came on him in a new way again, like a wave of glory. And he went down on his knees. And I'm thinking, has God killed him? And I am so weirded out. And all of a sudden he was on his knees and he was saying, God, what art thou that thou art mindful of man? And that, you know, this was Psalm 8. And I knew he didn't know scripture. We had only been saved a year and a half. I was a scripture reader. I knew he didn't know those verses. And then he just went out in the fields where the cows were at night. He would just praise and praise and praise. I, on the other hand, went into the parlor, so to speak, and I crept and I was so fearful. I was so afraid. This now was getting like too much for me. And I didn't understand it. I was outside of it. And it was like, God, have we crossed a line? Jesus, you're all I have. You're my only friend, you know. If we've done something wrong, I'm really alone here. And I can't do it without you. So help if we've crossed a line. And I was all crouched down. And, you know, that week, my husband absolutely changed before my eyes. He totally changed. And I saw him pray. I saw him grow so gentle. I saw him grow so considerate. I saw him grow so tender. And it was like I was not convicted by any outward sign. I was convicted by the inward work of the Spirit in his life. And I knew it was real. He became another man. Right before my eyes. And you know, there is a scripture. I'm thinking about Paul on the road to Damascus. And he gets knocked off his high horse, his religious high horse. And he's blinded. And you know the story, Ananias was sent to Paul to pray for him. And the scripture says that when Ananias, at first hard to believe that Paul, that hard man, he was supposed to go pray for him, but Ananias obeyed the Lord. And he came to Paul, and he says in Acts 9:17, Paul, God has sent me, Saul was his name actually, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul was going to be one of the most radically changed personalities in the whole of the New Testament. God was going to give him sight and fill him with the Holy Spirit. And I saw that happen to my husband in 1 week. And I needed no more convincing. This was not of the enemy. This was of God. And I wanted it with all my heart. So the interesting thing was that week that he got filled on a Monday, he was invited on a Friday night to go speak in this house. He had never, in a halfway house too, and he had never really been asked to go anywhere, speak or share his testimony. And this was, you know, it's amazing because when you get filled with the Spirit of God, we become his witnesses. And the Bible says, don't worry what you have to say. It'll be given you on that day. And people who are filled with the Spirit, God promises to fill their mouth and give them ministry in the Spirit, you know. And so this door opened for him to go speak. And so I went with him. And driving on the way in from our farm into the city, he was, you know, as usual, all that week, he was just praising God, and I was like, who are you? But, you know, and all of a sudden, we're driving, which is very scary because he's praying, and sometimes he has his eyes closed and everything praying. It's like, he put his hand on my head, and he goes, oh God, he goes, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. As you've done to me, do for her. And I felt like this warmth come all over me, and I felt like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, cartoons, and a Daffy Duck used to melt and kind of go down stairs like melted with no bones in his body. I felt like this kind of heat all go through me, and I felt like I could just like melt into the seat and end up being a puddle on the floor of the car. And but then, you know, we got where we were going, and I dropped my kids off at my mom's house, and I walk in the house, and my mom goes, "What happened to you?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Your eyes are shining." It's like, "Oh, I don't know. You know, off we go. So that was Friday, and then Monday night we were going to go where my husband was prayed for, and I knew I was going to get filled with the Spirit of God. I knew, whatever that meant, not really sure, but I knew the difference it made in my husband's life. And so we went to the same halfway house where a man who was leading it, who prayed for these addicts, and these men that were being totally transformed by the power of God, and they were witnessing, and I'd never seen anything like this because, you know, the church I went to is like, you know, Onward Christian Soul. You know, it was just very, very, we just all kept in lockstep. And, you know, this was very, very new to me what was going on. But we loved the Lord, though, in that church. But we did. But we were all in lockstep. And there was a lot of freedom in that place. And I remember thinking, oh, this is my night to get what, you know, what's going to happen here. And it was finally my turn, and I'd seen this man labor over these precious men, and he would pray and pray and pray and ask the Spirit of God, the power of God, to break the darkness and the addictions and to set them free and to make them totally transformed by the love of God for them and the power of the Holy Spirit. He would labor over them, and I saw many men get filled with the Spirit of God in a way I wasn't familiar with, and I got so hungry and anxious. So finally it was my turn in the line, and I got and I stood before him, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, I want this, you know, this whatever is going around. I would like some." I couldn't quite bring to use the terminology because I was a little afraid, so I just, "What this is?" And he looked at me and he goes, "The Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "You have the Holy Spirit." I went, no, I don't. "No, I don't." He goes, "Yes, you do." I went, no, I don't. He goes, "Yes, you do." By this time, I'm in tears. He goes, "All right. Oh, God," he said, putting his hand on my head. "Fill her with the Holy Ghost. Next." I was like, what? I waited all week, but, beloved, it just totally fed in to what was my besetting thing with me, is of course God wouldn't give it to me. He would labor over all these people to see them brought into a new place in God, but when it came my turn, it felt like no consideration. And I felt like such a little person because, you know, I really, what could I be in God anyway? Why, you know, why would God? I went home so defeated, and so believing that, of course, I'd asked him, nothing happened, and I'd come in this lineup where people get him, and I didn't get him. And I went home, but people around me, they kept saying, you know, "Did you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, he heard that." And I went, "But I can't believe I don't look like them. I don't sound like them. Why would you say that?" They go, "No, if you truly asked the Holy Spirit to come in and you meant it, he did. It's just like salvation. When you asked the Lord to save you, did he not? Yes, he did. When you asked him to fill you with the Spirit and you meant it, then it's the same root. You're filled with the Spirit of God." Well, I had to convince myself of that, but I felt like, you know, they said, "When you asked the Holy Spirit to come in and fill you, did you want that power of God so you could obey him more and be led by him?" And I said, "Absolutely. That's why I want the Holy Spirit. I wanted to witness to people. I wanted to be led." They said, "Then you have it." And they kept telling me that, but my experience wasn't like theirs. And I didn't sound like them, and I feel like I didn't look like them. And I had to take it all by faith. They said, "You took salvation by faith, didn't you?" "Yes." "Well, you have to take being filled with the Spirit by faith." Okay, I'll take it by faith, I guess. And moments, you know, I could, and other times, this old thing. But of course, it's not given to you for all kinds of reasons. And why should it be given to you? Who are you anyway? And At that time, we started going to a new church because the old church found out some things and they kind of gave us the left hand of fellowship. And so we ended up going to this other church and everything was new to us. And I would sit in the room, I felt like a deer caught in the headlights. You know, my eyes were this big and what is this place? And, you know, please somebody open the Bible and read from the Bible, then I'll feel so good if we could just do that, you know. We did do that, but one night there was a man came in and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And I was so hungry, but it was such a sore point with me, as you can imagine. And so he said, everybody who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, stand up. Now, I was in a turmoil because people told me I had to take it by faith. And I felt if I stood up to say I didn't have the Holy Spirit, that I would be not taking it by faith and I would be displeasing God. So I stayed down. And besides, it's easier to sit down in a meeting than stand up. So I sat, okay, stay seated. And they said, come to the front, everybody who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh my goodness, why is it I miss this on every turn? So they all went up to the front to receive. And then they said, everybody who's filled with the Spirit, stand up. So I thought, I'm taking this by faith. People have told me if I've asked him, he came in. So I stood by faith and with a whole group of people. And then they said, all right, you who are filled with the Spirit, come forward, and we want you to line behind these people. And it's like, oh no. And it's like, you know, people shuffling in front of me and people behind me. And the next thing I know, I'm just being part of the lemming and up to the front of the church. And this was horrible because now I'm going to be caught out in a lie in church. And I'm not filled with the Spirit, and I had an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, and I'm in the wrong lineup. I should be there, and I'm back here. And it was like, why is this so complicated, God? Then we lined up, and of course, we had to, what they said to do, people filled with the Spirit, you're going to stand behind somebody that wants the Spirit, and you're going to pray for them in your prayer language, and they're going to be filled. No, it gets worse. And I ended up in the lineup behind my mother. And now I'm, oh my gosh, now, no, I'm not going to get it, she's not going to get it, the whole family is, none of us are moving forward in God. It was terrible. So they said, lay your hands on those people that are seeking. And I was like, oh, Mom, I felt terrible. We laugh now, I laugh now. It was a bad moment. I put my hand out. They said, pray. I opened my mouth like I did in the bedroom all those other times. And when I opened my mouth, a mighty river of tongues came out of me. A mighty release. My mom got baptized. She spoke in tongues. I was jumping up and down, you know, and they thought, what, she could heal from cancer? But I couldn't tell them, I'm speaking in tongues because I'm in the lineup that's supposed to speak in tongues, you know. Oh, yeah. And you know, I've learned, really, I'm so glad God brought me that way, because I know that we ask to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, we may not all speak in tongues. I believe we all have the ability, but we may not all speak in tongues. But if we ask by faith to be filled with the Spirit, that we may obey Him, that we may be a witness, oh, God answers that prayer. I realized the first time my husband prayed for me in faith, I truly was touched by the Holy Spirit. I just was a lemming, looking to be filled like everybody. I wanted to look like everybody else. And God's saying, you know, actually, this might be a surprise to you, Teresa, but I love you, and I have an individual plan for your life. And I'm calling you to a walk of faith. And I fill you. I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'll do it every day. Ask me every day. Most days I do. Most days I do. And, you know, I believe that, you know, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, but the walk in the Spirit, isn't it? This is what we're talking about now when I ask every day. Because now I know better. I know when I asked Him by faith, He filled me. Because He loves me. He taught me that way back at the beginning, that He loved me. And that was the Holy Spirit confirming it. And now that I wasn't a second-class Christian, even though I felt like that for quite a while, till I got filled, in the sense of that I could recognize but I was filled back there. And, you know, there's a scripture that says, for God gives not by measure the Spirit unto him. And that means that when Jesus was on the earth, he was God, but the flesh side of him was totally filled with the Spirit of God. And that's how Christ was enabled to go to the cross, to give his all. And the Lord has been teaching me that, Teresa, that's why I give you the Spirit, that you will be given power to give all your life. Because there's this, otherwise we could end up just giving our lives sort of just part of our lives, don't we? There are situations and places that it's hard to give all. But when we have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus to lay down all his life is the same Spirit in us that will enable us to lay it all down. Not in drips and drabs, but there are times, beloved, that we come to a crossroads and we need the Holy Spirit to lay down our life at that point. We need the Holy Spirit. Because although if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to lay down our lives and fill us at that moment to do the will of the Father, we will end up with like a halfway or drips and drabs kind of offering to God. And Jesus is so much more worthy. He died to save all of us. And our joy lies in giving all our lives back, nothing withheld. No part dark, no part withheld. The absolute joy of the Christian is being enabled to lay all our life down. And the Holy Spirit is sent. In the same measure, Jesus didn't have a little bit of the Holy Spirit. He had all of the Holy Spirit so he could lay all his life down. And you and I can say, Holy Spirit, enable me at this moment to lay all of it down before your feet. Enable me, because there are times, you know, I have found that the Holy Spirit follows the cross. And what I mean by that is when we're asked to do something very, very, very hard for us, when God is asking us to do something very, very hard for us, the Holy Spirit follows the cross. That when we say, oh God, this I in me that has to die, I can only do it except now the Holy Spirit enable me to lay down my whole life. And that I may die. The I in us may die. The I in sin may die. Whatever I it is. That's the only way that we're enabled to do that. And, you know, I was sharing with some people today, but when God first called me to speak, I think when the angels in heaven realized that God was going to ask me to speak, I think they all would have said, no, 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 hanging over the balconies. They went, no, no, look away faster, you'll lose your faith. Because I would have been the one that sought the back of the room, and I was just so filled with a fear of man. It crippled me, and I was so timid and shut down. Now, if you put me in certain situations, like an intellectual situation, I loved that. But if it was anything to do with emotions or anything to do with normal interactions, or talking to people about feelings, no, I couldn't do that. And then to be asked to speak in front of people, that was death to me. And I remember the first time in Times Square Church, thankfully God showed me. One day I was sitting down in the congregation, and it was a wonderful service. And I remember, now I know the voice of the Holy Spirit said, you're going to be up there. And I remember looking up at the pulpit. And I rebuked that voice. I'm sure that was the devil. I was like, get away from me, Satan. That, you know, not only did I want it, but, you know, that's, wow, what a weird temptation. It's not a temptation. You know, God, that was the Holy Spirit who does speak to us like that. Little whispers. That small, still voice. The one that we learn, that he'll train us to listen to. That witnesses inside. As much as I wanted to put that away from me, I couldn't forget that thought. That's the Lord. It just keeps coming back. It's just there. It's not an idea you thought up at all. It's just this completely individual thought comes in and it won't go away. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking, showing you things to come. And when I was asked to speak, I would more than die 1,000 deaths. I had such a fear of man on me. And I didn't want to do it. And when I would get up to the pulpit, I honestly would wish the floor would open up half before I ever got there and that it would swallow me up. I would get up to speak sometimes and my mouth wouldn't work because of fear. I would get up to speak. People would say, what are you speaking on? I had no idea. I had no idea. I'm not making, I had no idea. I was so afraid the very thoughts fled out of my head. I didn't want to do this. And I remember one day that the Lord, I felt like he was giving me a word. This is 1999, on Mary and Martha. And I felt like if I said anything to anybody, they'd say, oh, well, why don't you preach it? And I didn't want to preach. And because I had such a terror. I wanted to honor God, but I couldn't preach. This was too much to ask me because of the fear of man, which is a snare. But I felt like the Lord say, I knew he gave me this word, and I felt like I don't want to tell anyone because the agreement was that if I felt the Lord gave me a word that I could speak on Sunday, and I didn't like that arrangement. First of all, what if you said you had a word and you got up and it was painfully obvious you didn't? Oh no, this wasn't a good situation. I mean, at least if you're going to ask me, and then I have to go, but to actually say, I have a... No, that went against the very grain of who I was. I didn't push myself forward. I always looked for the back and to hide. I was the invisible one, right? Don't ask me to declare, I have a word, and then stand up and give it. That was torture. And I felt like the Lord say to me, you don't have to speak that. You don't have to. And I thought, and if I didn't, and if I don't do that, go through this door, what would I do? And I had visions of I could go shopping. And suddenly, that felt like about as refreshing as a mouthful of sand. And I didn't want my own way. Thank God, that's why the Holy Spirit is sent to us. Because we don't want our own way. We want his way, no matter what it means. And the Holy Spirit does follow the cross. If we step out and do something we really, really, really don't want to do, but we know, it's God asking us. The Holy Spirit is sent to enable us what we couldn't do. And thank God he was so kind to me and wouldn't let me go shopping. And when I got up to preach that word, in the middle of it, and people still talk to me about it, but it was like in the middle of Mary and Martha, God bless them, it was like somebody took a razor blade and just ran it down the outside of me, and something cold and slimy slid right off me, and I just stepped into like a light and a fire, and I knew God had called me then, not because I was wife of, not because of any other thing, but he actually called me. And the Holy Spirit is sent to you so that you can know your calling. We all have diversities of calling, but how will you know it? Except he lead you into it and then empower you to do it. How will you know? You can ask the Holy Spirit to show you. To show you things to come. To show you things that you need to know. And if you pull back in fear like I did, don't worry, he won't let you go. He nails your foot to the floor. Because God is good and God is faithful. And you know, that scripture that says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken us. And you know something? I've found it to be a pleasure to die. When we being put to death in the flesh but quickened by the Spirit, I have actually found that to be an amazing thing. And only the Spirit of God actually has you wanting it. And the deep joy and peace that comes when Christ, you know, sends His Spirit and takes us to a place we could never go by ourselves. That's what we were talking about Friday night, where the Lord takes us to a place we need to be, but He has to take us there, and He will. And that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we will just stay in our sad, quaking, fearful places. And Jesus wants to use you in a way that would astound you. You know, there's a scripture that said in Acts, and certain women of our company astonished us, because they came back with the report, he's not dead, he's alive. And how the earth resounded with what they knew to be true. Nobody else believed them. They didn't need those other people believing them. They knew, like they knew, he's not dead, he's alive. And certain women astonished us. And beloved, that's, you know, when we walk in the Spirit, certain people are going to be astonished. You, people around you, because that's, God is in the astonishing business. And don't draw back, don't pull back in fear. Ask Him, say, Holy Spirit, fill me, that I may be an astonishment to my generation, that I may be an astonishment to my generation. Another time I was thinking, you know, what we place in the Holy Spirit's hands. If we say, lead me, Holy Spirit, He will. And He will lead you in ways that are pretty amazing. And I was thinking, one of those times for me was back in the early days of my marriage. We didn't have a lot of money, and a neighbor down the road gave me this beautiful green cabinet, and it was the only piece of furniture in my house that was nice. And you know, I had this little white dishware I stuck in it. You know, I'd put the cup with the crack to the back, and you know, I had it all nicely arranged because I like decorating. And every time I walked in that kitchen, it gave me such joy. And I just, it was the only, the rest of my house was decorated with early Salvation Army. And this beautiful cabinet, every time I walked in the door. Well, one day I walked in the door, and it gave me joy every time I walked in, carnal creature that I am. And I just enjoyed it. And one day I walked in the kitchen, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to give that cabinet to your sister. Like, wow, where'd that come from? Every time I looked at that cabinet, it's like, give that cabinet to your sister. It's like, really? Give that cabinet to your sister. It wouldn't go away. And I would look, and if God asks you to do something, don't look around. I'd look around the rest of the house and like, he can't really mean give this cabinet away. Do I have another green cabinet? But of course I didn't. I knew exactly what he meant. And that's what we do. You know, when the Holy Spirit is taking us to a place that we don't understand, but it's him talking. And we need the Holy Spirit to keep listening. Give that cabinet to your sister. Finally, at the end, it was like, if I don't do this, I will be knowingly in disobedience, and I don't know what that will bring into my life, but I don't want it. I want Jesus more than the cabinet, although I had to tell myself that 20 times. I call my sister up. Jackie, I'm going to give you the green cabinet. What? I'm going to give you the green cabinet. Really? She was all excited. It was a nice cabinet. What can I say? It got shipped to her place and she had it. And as soon as that cabinet left, I felt such a joy. You have no idea. When it went out the door, my joy came in. Joy to overflowing. And I have felt such a wonderful release. And I was so glad she had that green cabinet. And I could actually enjoy it knowing it was hers in her house. Not long after that, a few years, that house burnt to the ground. And I lost everything except what I gave away. I lost everything but what I put in the hands of the Holy Spirit. After my house burnt, Jackie came to me and she goes, I'm giving you back that green cabinet. I still have it. What we put in his hands, he keeps. What we put in his hands, he keeps. Through the fire and through the flood, he keeps it. He will be faithful to you. And he'll ask you maybe sometimes to do the strangest of things. But you'll know it's the Holy Spirit. You didn't think that up. Trust me, I know I didn't think that up. But God had such a plan. And what we put in his hands, he keeps. Our loved ones, our souls, are walking by faith, are walking in the Spirit. Finally, the last thing I want to say to you, there's a scripture that says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because we know that the most powerful force is God the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer on the earth today. Because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It is Jesus dwelling in us. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to lift up Jesus and praise him. That's why there's such unity when we praise in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, lifts Jesus, magnifies him, shows the things that belong to Christ. They exalt each other. It's so powerful. And to love Jesus the way we want to, we need to be filled with the Spirit. But because it's such a powerful thing, and that's how we glorify the Father when we're filled with the Spirit and lifting Jesus up, the enemy wants to counterfeit. And the enemy wants to send things that look almost so close like the real Holy Spirit, but not. Why? Well, I bore the fruit in my early years of the why, because some people saw such, there was no witness in their spirit that what people were proclaiming was God, that it was God. And so what they did was, rather than try the spirits, maybe a not wanting, for whatever reason, they pulled away completely whole denominations from teaching of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, because honestly and truly there were counterfeit spirits and things mimicking the Holy Spirit, that they may come and captivate the church and fill her with another spirit that would lead her into another gospel, that would cause her trust to shift, and the power and the glory and the love of God to be shed abroad in our heart, and the power to lay down our life for service and for others would be taken from the church, that she would be robbed. And sometimes the counterfeit spirits can be so close. When my husband was a police officer, part of his job, you know, they had to handle the counterfeit. Do you know how they train people in law enforcement to spot a counterfeit? You give them the real thing. All they did was handle real dollars. That's all. Because, you know, you can handle a fake one, but somebody in another corner will make another counterfeit one. And you can't possibly keep up with all the counterfeits, so you have to have the real. It's the only way you'll spot a counterfeit. So all they did was handle real money, real money, real money. Then they'd slip in something fake. Can they pick it out? By handling the real. By constantly being with the real. That's how. And when you and I, when it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. How do we try the spirit? What if something is presented to you as of the spirit? It sounds exciting. It sounds like, you know, you've got a heart. You want to obey God. You want to be led by the Spirit. And some new thing is happening. And God can do a new thing. So, but something's happening. And you Beloved, as his bride and I need to try the Spirit and not believe everything right off the bat. We try the Spirit two ways. We try the Spirit, first of all, there is an inward witness. In other words, when you first hear it, many times, you know what they tell us, psychologists, your first impression is the clearest. Before you know a person, before you get to know them, their habits, their story, your first impression is very often the truest one, because you have no other impression, you don't know anything else about them except what you first perceive or see. And an inward witness is, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. I know that's true. We used to have a sheep farm, and my husband used to take great delight. He'd send me out the door, go to the rail, call those sheep. And I knew what he wanted to do, but he just loved it anyway. And I would go, yo, and they would, you know, lift their heads up, munch, look at me, her, the hireling, and keep on eating. And then he'd go to the fence, and same word, yo, they'd all lift up their voice, he's here, the shepherd. And they'd all come nice, filed down the path, one behind another, and come to him. It's true in the natural, but it's true in the spiritual. And there will be you say, Lord, I just want to walk with you, Holy Spirit. Handle the real. You will know the counterfeit. And there will be this inward witness, and it's like, Lord, just show me. Not that we sit, you know, like everybody's judge in hypercritical, but you can trust the Holy Spirit that is in you. And second of all, there needs to be scripture. Look in your Bible and say, it will show up, the doctrine, what they're teaching, you know, it will show up in scripture. And you will know. Because, beloved, there the Bible says that the closer we get to the end times, the more that there will be deceiving spirits, the more there will be counterfeits, the more that there will be things that masquerade as the Holy Spirit. Why? The enemy has to neutralize the power of the Holy Spirit on the face of, and he does it most successfully by a counterfeit spirit. Now, this is not to be afraid. There is deep satisfaction when you know, like you know, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And when you know things, ask for wisdom. You need wisdom. Have you ever met people who declare themselves to have a lot of discernment and you go, really? They say, I have a lot of discernment. Now, if you have to go around telling people you have discernment, sister, you need more than a chorus of one. But we can have that. That's a wonderful gift, a gift of discerning of spirits. And pray for it. And if God shows you something, ask for wisdom and how to share it. One time I had somebody who always asked me about this certain very, very famous man in the United States with a big, big ministry. And people would say, what do you think about that guy? What do you think about that guy? And because I knew that people would listen to me, I felt that as a holy trust. Not to just spout off, but Lord, what do you say about this man? And he was very famous for, he publicly declared that he was not going to preach against sin because he felt his call was to preach very positively all the time, and that, you know, they would come in that way. And so he wasn't going to preach about sin. He was going to preach good things. And people would ask me all the time, what do you think about that guy? And, you know, I would try to evade it because I felt like I didn't have the mind of the Lord on it. And I remember one day I was asked again, and I said, I don't know. And I was walking along, I was like, Lord, what do you say? What do you say? Just like that, the Holy Spirit said to me, too much sunshine produces a desert. In other words, in our heart is like this field that's called to be fruitful. And it needs all kinds of weather, doesn't it? It needs the sun, but it also needs the mist. It needs the rain. It needs all kinds of things to produce a harvest. Now when people ask me about that, you know, I say, well, a lot of times I will share that, or I will just, depending on, you know, you kind of know if people is just a path. You know, when people say, hi, how are you? They don't really want to know how are you. So you respond appropriately, fine, you know, because it's not the place for anything but fine. And you can, but there are other times people go, how are you? And that is an invitation. If you want to share, you share. And I kind of do it that way. So we need wisdom, because we don't want to be part of the dividers of the church. But at the same time, we don't want to be part of the deception. But the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. And when we walk in the Spirit and we consider who's asking us and why, it's the love of God for them. We start becoming concerned about the body of Christ. And God gives us wisdom. And God, we understand the question behind the question a lot of times. And you can answer. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. So, beloved, we can have, God has spoken so richly to us in this conference. But he does want it, and I know it continues on, but to me, in some ways, it feels like Friday night and both times Saturday is a very, the meat of what God's doing. And he wants us to finish off on the note that we can be filled with the Spirit of God. You can be filled with the power of God and the love of God just by asking. And when you do it with a sincere heart, when I spoke to you about Nora today, that lady and her husband in adultery, one thing she said in her testimony is, when you pray with a sincere heart, buckle up your seatbelt. God's going to take you on a ride. If you ask with a sincere heart that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit, he will. Any other thing like manifestation or whatever, you know, don't. That's not what's important. It's the inward work, the inward witness. My husband was changed right before my eyes. That is the witness we look for. The change, the inward power given to the inner man. And we get that by asking just sincerely. And then when God has done that filling, we can ask to be filled every day. Because sometimes we walk through this world and we all need a foot wash, don't we? There are times that we know we've missed the mark. And the Holy Spirit, because we've asked to be filled, we'll be very sensitive. But we can say, Lord, teach me to walk in the Spirit. Teach me to walk in the Spirit. That's calling on the deposit of the Spirit already made with that infilling. You know, the way I do it is just fill me today. Maybe that's not the most correct theologically. Maybe I just need to say, Holy Spirit, who has filled me, lead me. You know, I'm just... But I do know that's our privilege, to be filled and to be led, and let's be filled, let's be led, because we can. Christ went to the cross that we could be and totally changed. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Will you stand with me? I'm just going to ask us if we can just bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute and shut out everybody else in this room. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it may be the first time that you are just want to ask him by faith so that God can answer that prayer. The sincere prayer of the heart, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit so that I can obey you and that I can be a witness. Because I need this inward work of change and transformation. And then I can have that assurance how much you love me, that I may know it and believe it. I'm just going to ask you, in this sign of surrender, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? All over this place with everybody's eyes shut, you just slip your hands up right now. All over this place that want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God is present now to fill you and will do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to slip both hands up as a sign of surrender, you can do that also. Now, Lord, you see these hands, and Lord, you've promised the Holy Spirit. And Lord, these women, Lord, have come to the cross, and now they come in faith, Lord, asking you to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask you now to supernaturally lay your hand on their head, and Lord, to touch them and fill them with the Holy Spirit of God, which is their privilege. It is part of their inheritance. And I thank you, God, you are no respecter of persons. You do not love one more than the other. That Holy Spirit, you are sent now to have them know and believe how much you love them. and that you have a call on them. Lay your hand upon them now. And by faith, my sisters, just receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And right now, as you took salvation by faith, you may take by faith the God who loved you and died for you, Jesus himself, is now filling you with the mighty Holy Spirit of God, a complete infilling of his Spirit that we receive by faith. And that, Lord, I thank you now that you will give the inward witness that you have done this, Lord, by a transforming power of the Spirit. I thank you, you will receive no one whose hand is up. You will receive no one whose hands are up to receive this filling. And now I just ask for, ladies, if you, those of you now that are filled with the Spirit, you don't need to turn around, keep your eyes shut. I just ask you now to begin to receive. Lift your voices now and just start to say, Lord, I thank you. You can, in your prayer language if you want. And I just thank you, Lord. You are touching these women now. You are not a God. You are not a man that you should lie. You are God who keeps his promise. Touch, Lord. Thank you for touching and filling them with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, O God. Thank you for filling every woman. Holy Spirit, fill them top to bottom completely with the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You see these hands. It's indicating a willing heart. A willing heart to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Even now, you are overcoming, Lord, the fear and the prejudice and the lies that the enemy has built around your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you yourself have come to demolish the fear and the lies. Holy Spirit, you've been sent to empower us and to change us. So, Lord, everyone in this place now, receive a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. Receive a fresh infilling. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you touched me and as you touched many women in this place, you are touching again tonight women with a willing heart to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we just thank you. And we praise you. Now, if you believe that God has touched you, I want you just begin to praise him. I just want you to begin to praise him. Thank him. Thank you for filling you. You take it by faith. He will not deny you. He will not deny you. It doesn't matter what the lie is. He will not deny you. You are not a second-class Christian. Hallelujah. He died. There is a cross that we came to at salvation that he may follow with the Holy Spirit and fill us. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.